Omaha Steaks Black Friday deals landed early. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select favorites, including incredible deals on USDA-certified tender Omaha Steaks. These are the deals you've been waiting for all year. And when you shop OmahaSteaks.com today, you'll get an additional $35 off with code BLACKFRIDAY at checkout. And don't miss exclusive limited-time savings on uniquely curated packages, delicious favorites, and so much more. But you'd better hurry, because these deals won't last, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Don't wait. Shop the early Black Friday sale now at OmahaSteaks.com to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select favorites. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code BLACKFRIDAY at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com, code BLACKFRIDAY. Terms apply. See site for details.
And welcome back to Grassroots Marketing here on CannabisRia.com. Joining me right now, a company that we've actually had here off and on here on Grassroots Marketing going back to 2020, around the pandemic time. And my guest right now is the current CEO of said company we're going to feature today. He's a turnaround strategist with a track record of spotting operational deficiencies, executing action plans, repairing brand image, creating long-term customer satisfaction, bringing a cannabis company right now and the current economic climate to keep them revenue positive. Extremely important. Right now, I'm joined with the CEO of Ethos Cannabis, Jabron Washington. Thanks for being on with us, Jabron.
Thank you so much, Ori, for having me. I appreciate the introduction, man. Hopefully, I can live up to all the things you said.
Well, you already have. I mean, the whole point is, it's quite a footprint so far, being brought in as a relatively new CEO into the space. About a year ago, you came in, and currently, Ethos Cannabis operates in three states: Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Ohio. 13 stores operational, and of course, growth in the near future. And you took the cannabis business executive, and when you talked to them, you actually told them this, quote, "I think the transition into cannabis for yourself was probably a little more natural than most executives for you, and that the journey started at a much earlier age than what is probably socially acceptable, but around 10 years old. But you mentioned cannabis is always around. Parents were always able to adapt to consume cannabis, and they were allowing us to consume alcohol, which was something that they didn't believe was a good substance to partake in, but cannabis was never presented in the same way. And for most people, it was always somewhat socially acceptable. And you mentioned it was just very relevant to what you do. And you gave a whole lot of background into your own personal story.
Yeah.
So the passion that you have to come into this space and transition in, did you think this was something that was ultimately going to happen, that you were going to find your way into cannabis some way, somehow, professionally?
Professionally, and a couple of things. Well, first thing is, I've been at Ethos now going on 2 years. So I started as the vice president. I was able to kind of work my way through the ranks there. And within the first year, I became CEO. So it was a crazy first year to kind of go through. So I've kind of been in the space formally for about the last past 2 years. Now, the journey in cannabis, I think professionally, I would have kind of ended up in cannabis. It was never something that you wrote on the bulletin board and said, okay, I'm going to be in cannabis one day. It was something that I enjoyed as a pastime, as something to help me cope. The different parts of different moments in my life as a college athlete. I used it as a recovery mechanism. CBD was introduced to me earlier on in my space in cannabis. So it was always something for me that was a way of life. It wasn't a fad to me. It was something that kind of integrated to who I was. So it wasn't something to say, okay, like, hey, if you like alcohol, I'm going to work in the liquor business.
Although what I'm saying is that when you see 10 plus years ago that the legitimization, the fact that we were getting a legal industry in place, obviously you would have been seeing what was going along. It was just a matter of time before where you are, you know, that the logistics might work out in your favor if you decided from your professional background in food and beverage, you know, in a large industry, yeah, and you're making your way in it. But honestly, that's the other thing I want to ask about is that, you know, it's not too far-fetched for in the space today. I've seen where there are quite a few people in the consumables range come into the space because cannabis is so entrenched now into growing into the consumable space itself, to be able to go and put cannabis consumables or beverages on the same store shelves as alcohol now these days. So
yeah,
that's what my point was, is that, you know, you see what the business trend was, not necessarily, you know, what recreational feeling was.
Saw the business trend. It was very engaging. My brother was in the industry for years, and with CBD smoke shop side of kind of the industry. Yeah. So it was always something that engaged. It was engaging for me. I never thought that professionally that it would help bolster my career. I thought that a lot of times had negative connotation. So earlier on, as I even considered it, kind of stayed away because I was trying to become a restaurant executive and work in kind of quote unquote corporate America. So, you know, this kind of fell into my lap unexpectedly, I guess you would say, but very welcome. You know, to be able to take, you know, my passion and do it as a lifestyle now or as a profession. I don't feel like I really work. I feel like I do what I love every day.
One of the things where we had a show that we just recently closed up last year, but after some 200 some odd podcasts, Vern Davis hosting our Plant Profits program. And I think it would have been, that's one of those things where I wish he was here to go do this interview because he was also food and beverage, plus in the executive recruitment area of what he does, what he does still today, is the fact of the matter is that there are so many good people from that space that find their way here. And those are ones I feel like they really just, they stand out and do so well. What do you think about the transition? If you've seen others like-minded in the same space that you came from, that they also make that same similar transition and they do really well at it.
I think it's almost identical. I think if you think of our bud tenders, they're just like bartenders. You know, you take out the alcohol and you replace it with cannabis, people are looking for them that same experience, the same personal experience. I had a long day, got a lot going on. I want to load. I want to have a conversation with someone who then can give me something that hopefully can ail some of the things that are going through my life right now, help the ailment, some of the things that are going through my life right now. So I think as we look about the restaurant business or retail, I mean, it's almost the same. You know, budtenders are a bartender. Bartenders are a budtender. And a lot of them just come over into this space and they fit very well in this space because I think we're going for the experience. And that's always something that we always went for in the restaurant, the retail business. And we have a product that, you know, people are looking for to help with some type of coping that they're going through.
I want to go to transition now and segue into the fact of how we talked about, where we started this interview, how Ethos Cannabis has been able to stay revenue positive. And by the way, that's also without, you know, this is well before the change for the DEA of this eventual distinction where Schedule 1 to Schedule 3 for cannabis is being made in place, the rescheduling, which will take away the burden of 280E. You've been able to keep the company revenue positive with even having that distinction in place. Talk to me about the fact that the difficulty of drilling to go ahead and keep a revenue positive space with the illicit market in place that obviously in some states consumes more than 50% of all sales, and the 280 distinction that has been put on us and how much of that revenue goes away to taxes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, I'll take credit for the things that I've had my hand in. My background is organizational design and creating structure so that we can kind of build things going towards the future. But I'd be remiss if I didn't give credit where credit is due. You know, our founder, David Clapper, EY guy, his financial structure, or this financial mind, the way he thinks about the business is very structured. So I was able to come into a platform where a lot of financial discipline, a lot of financial philosophies were kind of already in place. A lot of our challenges as an upstart was getting all of our processes online. So I took on the organization that we were teetering right around break even or being cash flow positive. And I was able to kind of get everything online, put the structure in place and create an organizational structure that allows us to repetitively with all the headwinds and that we don't know is coming right now, we can say that we're cash flow positive.
One of the other areas we looked at, and I'm always talking about this, especially when it comes to safer social equity, when your company has a leadership model with you at the helm, combining to create that profitability and fostering an inclusive work environment. So in that area, you know, we hear, and obviously the cannabis industry wants to be at the forefront of diversity, equity, and inclusion, but it is the area of where that pendulum swings. Is it more towards a performative end where somebody might say we want to be fostering it, but, you know, how much of a meritocracy is there? I mean, the people that are put in positions of influence or of leadership and how qualified they are, and it's not just because somebody's checking a few boxes. I just wanted to get where you are in the pendulum of that, being able to create that inclusive work environment.
Well, I think, you know, those two things aren't exclusive. Meritocracy environment as well as an inclusive environment. I think when we look at it on its face and we say, you know, if we're really going to have an equitable space and we're going to put the best people in the best positions, then it has to be a diverse group. I don't think that we have done anything else very intentional besides hiring the best people for the best jobs. We have three female vice presidents. Obviously, I'm an African-American CEO. But I think that is a box that we don't really look at around here. And we're looking for the best people to do the best job. And if it turns out you're an African-American, turns out you're a woman of color or a Caucasian woman, then so be it. And we're going to put you in that position. We're not going to hold you back. We're going to give you every opportunity. I think when you look at other institutions or other industries, I think their biases come into play. And then that is why it's so important to have these DEI programs. But when you're in a culture like we've created, where the best wins out, regardless of what that looks like, you end up sometimes in situations the way we are, where we have a very diverse group. And the data will also tell you that, you know, diverse organizations are more profitable. So, you know, I don't think we go out and consciously say we're going to hire a Black CEO or hire a bunch of female vice presidents. We're going out to look for the best people. And if the best people do fall into some of those buckets that America tends to continuously talk about all the time, then so be it. But we're going to find the best people to do the best job, irregardless of your gender, your sexual orientation, or your race.
Yeah. But what's up, basically like a colorblind approach. And really, if you don't even get to even see the person, you just see the works they've done, the experience they have, and what they bring to the table. And, you know, I agree with that in that case because of the fact that if you just bring in the right people that you just feel like that fit the best, I mean, you are going to create an inclusive work environment. There's not, and that's the part where I think people just go ahead and think too hard on that or try to go ahead and play up to a certain, you know, expectations that, you know, even when you start putting it into a point of trying to go and find the right people and then also trying to meet some kind of a public, you know, image that some people think you're supposed to have in the cannabis space or wherever. That's the part where if you find the best people, eventually you're going to have the makeup of a company that you're going to feel really proud of having because you're not closing any doors. You're keeping doors open and you have, you know, you're keeping yourself open-minded and available to anybody that can come in to contribute that you know can contribute. And there's no barriers to entry except for the fact that, do you know what you're doing and what can you do for us? Can you really help and benefit this company?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. I think all people get I colorblind. I get a little tense when people say colorblind. I don't think we should be colorblind. Because I think, you know, once you get these people in the organization, you do need to see them for who they are to make sure that you're creating a comfortable environment for all of the different type of people that are in the room. I think a lot of the failures in DEI, and I don't want to go too deep down this rabbit hole, some of the failures in DEI, I think, is we forgot that there was an I there. And inclusion means everybody. That doesn't mean excluding or blaming. Traditionally, what has happened in this scenario is the white guy, the white male, for their privilege. So I think in our environment, we want everyone to feel included. We see your whiteness. We see your maleness. We see your femininity. We see your sexual orientation. We respect it. We welcome it. And we want you to be your full, just like our flower. We want a full expression of yourself here at Ethos, whatever that looks like. And as a leader, it's my job to make sure my leaders understand that we're going to adapt to that and accept that, understand that before that we say that's not who we are and that's not what we are about. That has to be the approach, I think, in order for DEI to actually work. Everyone has to sit at the table. Everyone has to feel included. Everyone has to feel that they can speak up and feel included.
And when it comes to DEI, I think if you want to have more companies that are going to incorporate that kind of those kind of values, the thing is, you got to look at where the social equity programs are coming in for every state. And legacy operators have to have a chance to have a seat at the table. That the way that the deviation of the lottery system or, you know, how in New York the conditional dual use dispensary licenses are doled out. And that they, you know, the people that get the chance to have those licenses, they're going to get a chance to go ahead and say, okay, we're going to find the business acumen. We're going to have the collateral, you know, the resources, the money to be able to go ahead and sustain until we get to opening up cultivation, dispensary, and the whole like. And that's where I think it comes in. I think new companies are going to be able to come into the space that can incorporate those values. And, you know, within existing companies, you find, again, a model that really fits much like what you're giving as a role model, as an example that other companies could follow.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good intentioned people in this space and in all industries. I think, you know, a lot of times it's easy.
Omaha Steaks Black Friday deals landed early. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select favorites, including incredible deals on USDA-certified tender Omaha Steaks. These are the deals you've been waiting for all year. Don't wait. Shop now to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select favorites at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code BLACKFRIDAY at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
In theory, it's hard in practice. So we're hoping that, you know, what we do here can be used as the blueprint, not just on the inclusion space, but I think the medical research space and how we grow and where our genetics come from. I think as an organization, we want to be a model organization about how this five-generational workforce should look like when you have a company. We should have all the different variations in our business that you would hope to see. So leading that change and leading that charge is a responsibility that I take on with pride and hopefully, you know, continue to do a good job at.
Let's start to visit the website again now, ethoscannabis.com. Again, we mentioned Pennsylvania, Ohio, and among other areas that you have stores available. Again, those 13 stores that are out there. So talk to me really quickly about, you know, where things are now with these in terms of growing now within, you know, in those states, other states that might be targets for Ethos entering into that market. What can you tell me about what's the growth trajectory going right now?
Yeah, so we're really excited about Ohio. Obviously, Ohio going adult use, that unlocking event is very exciting for us.
Yes,
so as we look at, where we're going in the Ohio marketplace, we're very excited. You know, we have a couple more retail locations that we're looking at siting and building out. We've just finished some remodeling of our cultivation space, so we expanded our canopy space there. So it's a very exciting state, being the seventh largest state in the nation, for us to kind of really grow our footprint and really get our medical research arm out there and then really help educate the population in Ohio, as well as giving some of the best product we feel is in the Northeast. In Massachusetts, speaking to some of the social equity things you talked about in some of these states, we're hoping that to survive, help the market, the legacy market survive. We're hoping that some of these social equity licenses will be opened up for us to help invest in, help stand them up. And help increase some of our footprint in Massachusetts as well. That'd be a great opportunity for, I think, a lot of MSOs to invest in the industry. If we weren't paying so many taxes, we would love to be like a tier one, tier two operator in other industries. And we would love to invest in the industry and be able to get tax credits for that. I think that is how you help save some of these industry partners who are suffering. If you incentivize the larger players to invest in them and you give them tax incentives to invest in them, we're a lot faster to helping someone bail out than a bureaucracy would ever be. And then in Pennsylvania, we're hoping that the governor there is going to get the legislator there to go recreational in the next year or two. And that will be a great opportunity for us because that's probably our largest footprint of a state, canopy as well as retail locations. So all three states we're really excited about. We're also going through some remodels and reimagining the space, putting more technology, more experiential elements to that space. So there's a lot of great things happening at Ethos. And then in Q3 and Q4, we're going to be launching some wellness products that are research-based because we were the first company in the country to partner with a research institution in cannabis. So a lot of the research we've been doing in this space as thought leaders, now we are starting to get enough information to be able to start cultivating with a purpose, as we say, and creating product lines that are scientifically backed. We can't say proven, but scientifically backed, because obviously the FDA studies all the other kind of things that have to actually be done. But we have some more than what I would call anecdotal knowledge now about terpene profiles, THC percentages, and what type of dosage regimens are better for certain different types of ailments.
So Ohio was about over 100 provisional adult-use cannabis licenses already been sent to dispensaries now. So they're all waiting to go ahead and get themselves started with adult use in the state. When I ask about Pennsylvania, and I want to just preface this, I'm going to just say like this, where, you know, we have a program now on Cannabis Radio called Planting Seeds with Senator Cerise Street, the state senator of Pennsylvania, who has a program now regularly with us. And you know what? We got to have you on that program.
I would love to.
So I hope Francesco, who's helped to set this interview with us, can help us make that possible, because you got a lot of locations in Pennsylvania. Of course, we're waiting for Governor Josh Shapiro to go ahead and go through the law right now to that. The bill that, of course, Senator Street is one of the frameworkers of that bill to get adult use into the state. Once that does happen, obviously, we've talked a lot extensively about what it comes to, what it means for social equity in the state, what it means for the rollout, to understand what other states have done that works in a large scale for an urban area versus a smaller town area, that Pennsylvania has a whole lot of change, you know, really very diverse sizes of cities and markets there are in there. I wanted to just get your take in terms of what the difference will be in terms of seeing recreational or adult use coming into the state and what that means, the impact where you see it coming up for you and Ethos Cannabis being there as such an established market for you.
I think that'll be huge for us as an organization, for us to get recreational cannabis use in Pennsylvania. Selfishly, I'm very excited to see what recreational looks like in Pennsylvania versus other states. Because Pennsylvania has such a medical forward program, and we have so many pharmacists already employed in our program, I think that Pennsylvania will become a model for what more states should do when you look at their recreational and medical combination. I think Pennsylvania will probably have one of the best programs in the country in terms of informed access to cannabis, instead of what I would call just the loosey-goosey approach that some of the states have kind of taken to the recreational side, and the medical side just kind of goes away. I'm really, really hoping that the medical component or the medical DNA that makes cannabis in Pennsylvania so unique, we hope that stays as the recreational comes in. And we think that marriage is probably what the industry needs overall as we try to make cannabis an appropriate place in society. We need the medicinal aspect so people can really understand this is not a party drug. This is something that will help you with a range of things, from sleep and anxiety to depression to pains in your back to, cerebral palsy. I mean, and that's just the start as you look at some of this research. So we were really hoping that we don't get looked at as alcohol. We aren't a party drug. Those of us who use cannabis isn't, you don't usually take cannabis and get turned up. You usually have something with you if you're going out to the club or something like that. So we look at cannabis as a personal experience usually. And we hope that as Pennsylvania comes online, that we will be in the forefront of the nation in terms of the best dual program in the country.
Right. Well, and think about the fact that with the legal industry and the people that have come into the space, like yourself, that have brought in a real, it's a testament to quality, to compliance, to creating the best products possible, and to helping the most people out there with various ailments and anomalies that we already know for years. And now with the distinction of that DEA rescheduling, we're going to get more research. We're going to get more information that's going to prove positive that the benefits of cannabis overwhelmingly surpass. And of course, the Health and Human Services and those, as so many medical professionals now have already said it publicly. So the research will say more, that it will speak more for us as much as anything. And the continuous narrative that's been pushed on the public will be diminishing more and more every day. So I look forward to that.
I think that's right. Go ahead. And I think, that is probably the most fulfilling part of being in cannabis, is seeing someone come in from, big pharma. With all the ailments, nothing is working. And they come in and we put them on a cannabis regimen. They come back the next week and they sing the praises of how their life is better, how they're not taking any more pills, how they're not using their cane after a month or two. You see a young child come in and, he has a tumor going through leukemia. Actually, it was a couple of weeks ago. And the mother just being in complete distress of not knowing what to do with her child. Getting them a dosage of an edible that takes them now back to their old self, eating again. These are the kind of anecdotal stories that once the research matches up to the anecdotal stories, this miracle plan, as we like to call it, is going to be powerful. We need to have this in more people's hands. And we don't have to smoke it. Everyone gets caught up in, smoking is bad. And I get it. I love the flower and I prefer to smoke it. But that's not the only delivery method that you can take with cannabis then. So as we continue to research and really normalize it for more people and monitor and regulate and test it, I think we'll be amazed at what this plant could do for so many people across this country.
Agreed. Jabron Washington, CEO of Ethos Cannabis. Website is ethoscannabis.com. Make sure to go look. Again, you can find stores in Pennsylvania, Ohio. Hold on.
Massachusetts.
And Massachusetts. I should have. I do not want to go and leave them out as well. Really, thank you, Jabron. We'll definitely hear more from you, and we'll have you back on here on Cannabis Radio, hopefully in the very near future. Thank you for making time to talk to us. Really appreciate it.
Corey, thanks for having me. I look forward to talking to you again soon.